You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Mule Shoe Fellowship with Steve Frisco. This message was recorded on February 12, 2025, and is titled Isaiah Chapter 2. Grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
Anyhow, let's get on with tonight. Murph, you're up tonight, ain't you? Okay. All right. Rhonda, you going to help him? All right, good, good. All right. Hey, just real quick, we're going to get in the word here tonight, but a couple things I just want to say ahead of time. We've had quite a lot of lessons and things going on. Those of you that keep up every day, you know some of the challenges and difficulties we've had in the last couple of weeks, just small stuff, but, you know, getting from Rapid City, South Dakota to Texas in a reasonable amount of time was not easy. And the whole deal, and I've shared a lot of that stuff, and a lot of it seems kind of minor. It's just everyday stuff, but God's everyday God. And so Sunday morning, when we were in Rapid City, I did a service up there. I spoke, and you could tell that there were men that were leaning up and licking their lips. And then there's some other people that you could tell were pretty steady about their ministries, and Sunday morning wasn't having quite so much fun. Because I told them, I said, Sunday's a great excuse, but if you'll read your Bible, that's all it is. So I pray every day that ends in Y. I read my Bible every day that ends in Y. I praise the Lord every day that ends in Y when nobody's around. Just works better for me if nobody's around. I don't sing that good. Most of my praise is as simple as thank you, Jesus. He forgives me every day that ends in Y. The sacraments of his communion, whether I participate or not, are in full effect every day that ends in Y. His body was my perfect sacrifice, and his blood has been absolutely sufficient every day that ends in Y. So no matter what circumstance you're going through, no matter what you got going on, good, bad, middle, it don't matter. God will guide your steps. God will direct you. God will hear you. God will answer you. He will show you some things that you'll look totally different than anybody else in the building. You'll look different. But the two things I've learned in the last week or two here, very important, and it's woe be it to me to not share them with you. But first and foremost, figure out how to trust God enough to wait on him. You got to trust him enough to wait on him. If you'll trust him enough to wait on him, and you continue to meditate on his word day and night, and continue to renew your mind with the word of God while you're waiting on God patiently without grumbling, here in a minute, you'll have the confidence to move when he says go. A lot of us have been told that we need patience and we need to wait on the Lord. Patience is trust. Faith is confidence. Religion will tell you not to be too confident. You know, you might look a little cockier. You might, you know, blah, blah. No, they've got that confused with haughtiness. I'll show you what that looks like someday, but confidence that you can wait on God, and the minute he says go, go. And that'll happen every day that ends in Y. And if what we do as a group does not help us get to that place, it is a waste of time. Sitting around doing nothing and pretending it's in the name of Jesus is fruitless, pointless, and mundane. The very thing that was happening in 1738 when God brought revival to this land in 1740. They realized that it was fruitless, mundane, pointless. Well, guess what? In America today, there's a lot of stuff we do that we call it Christianity, and it's fruitless, and it's pointless, and it's mundane. If it is, the Holy Ghost is not in it. I got a challenge for everybody that seems to want to operate in different spirits and call it the Holy Ghost. There's one spirit, it's the Spirit of the living God. He's an unchanging spirit, same one that raised Jesus from the dead, and he's the same one that brought life to your mortal body if you're born again. So, if you're operating in a different spirit, then one of us is going to hell. Let's do last man standing. What spirit you operating in? Because you can check all the boxes of Christianity every week since Moby Dick was a minute. And unless you're born again, you are not a child of God. Period. And if you're not a child of God, he won't direct your steps. So in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the background noise, in the midst of the shaking, God's people will have a peace that transcends all understanding. We'll wait upon the Lord. And when he says, go, we sold a cow dog this weekend for $14,500. He was worth it. The dog. You know what made him worth it? Full attention to the master. We had that demo music. When that dog showed, we killed it before some of the other dogs, but when that dog did his thing, the music was playing. Radio was playing in the building. And that gal rode in there, and I don't know what she told that dog. I'm talking about that son of a buck he got down on the ground now. He wasn't listening for nothing but her. And he just wait. Just sit there and wait. Didn't move his tail. He didn't get up and get reprimanded. He didn't have to tell him to sit back down. He just waited. And here in a minute, she did something. I couldn't tell what it was. She did something. Whew. Like that. Some gun headed down that arena to go gather them cattle, and he did it. And I mean, he knew what his job was, and he just sat there and waited till somebody said go. He didn't have to call the other dogs and see if they'd pray for him first. He didn't have to look around and see what the other dogs were doing. He just went. And you know what? You're going to look silly as heck sometimes when God tells you to go. You're going to look plumb silly. Do it anyhow. Just do it. Wait on the Lord because you trust him. Get ready to go because you're confident in his voice. Do it. It may not have anything to do with ministering to somebody. It may just be something taking care of your family, which is the most important thing. God's more interested in you and your family than anything else. And so if that's it. And so while we're watching all this going on, listen, I was telling my little daughter today, I said, we're 3 weeks into this total disruption of the whole wide world. Now, if you've been hanging out here, you're ready for it. 4 years ago at Passover, we taught on the seven mountains of Israel, the seven institutions, and the destruction thereof. Voila, it's happening. 10 or 12 years ago, Mark Case walked in and sat right here and told us that the whole world was being turned upside down so the church would be turned right side up. Never forget it, as long as I live. Guess what? I get to be here to see it. And I was telling my little daughter today, I said, Listen, sweetie, don't get your shorts in a knot just yet. We're 3 weeks in and we got 4 years to go. I'm telling you, everybody's going to get a little shrapnel on you. Everybody's going to take a punch in the gut. Everybody's going to get to participate in this. Why? Because every one of us are affected by these institutions that are going to crumble to the ground. The institution of religion being one of them. Already this week, evidence coming out of how the institution of religion is tangled up in the financial benefits of the institution of government. And we've got some big things and big money, and this is all coming down. Let me give you one more right quick before we get Murphs up here to sing. I'll cut you a little intermission here in just a second. You watch what happens in the next few months when there is no longer what's that called? 501c3. When the 501c3 exemption is removed, and when the church, the religious community, I'm not going to call it the church, the religious community is finally forced into spirit-led offerings as opposed to tax benefit. I've been against that the whole time. Don't tell me you giving money to the Lord when you're just beating Uncle Sam. Yeah. Watch what happens if you don't get a tax break for giving to the church. Watch what happens if the church had to finally pay property tax. What would be wrong with that? If every church in this town paid property tax, we wouldn't have to sell beer. We'd actually made more money off the Christians than we would off the drunks. Watch what happens when you got to pay sales tax. Huh? How do you think it's going to go? Because if your institutions are tangled up and they're all starting to crumble, just remember this, the kingdom of God does not change and it will always stand. But the kingdom of God is not an institution. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of God. It's the highest mountain of the Lord that supersedes and rules over every hill, every valley, and every mountain, every nation, every government is under Mount Zion in the kingdom of God. And the only institution that God put in this earth was the institution of family, the institution of marriage, for the purpose of bringing forth godly offspring. That's it. All the rest of it is going to get swept out the door. And right now, we've got the greatest disruptor that has ever entered into the game. Now, I'm not anything like Donald Trump, but I will be a disruptor of our religion. And I will continue to be, because I'm not for sale and I'm not for hire. Don't care. So if I make statements like, we're ready for revival, but we may have to get people out of church before they can see Jesus. I say those things without fear. If it hurts your feelings, then I just created a good choice for you to decide this day, choose this day. You want to serve the God of your forefathers over the hill? You want to serve the religion that you've been, that old-time religion? Or are you going to choose to follow Jesus? Which one? One Holy Ghost, one Spirit, one faith, one God, one baptism. That's it. Not 42 different versions. You don't have to have somebody explain the Bible to you every 15 minutes. If you've got the Holy Ghost in you, if you'll just try this a little bit, you can get some of this on your own. And if our gatherings does not help us proceed through this next shaking and disaster that's happened, there's a lot of this going to be pretty disastrous. But it's all for the good. If our gatherings does not help us, if the man up here at the front, whoever it is, does not seek the Lord, for a message for his people on a regular basis to move from Monday to Sunday, it is all for nothing. I don't care how good the music is. I don't care about any of it. God is going to speak to his people and help us navigate the waters to his glory, to our benefit and his glory. But it'll only be him. And there's going to be a lot of background noise. There's going to be a lot of doubters. There's a lot of people. It's going to happen now. It's happening. A lot of people had a Trump banner on their fence. And all of a sudden the funding left and the banner came down. You're either in this for the long haul for the benefit of our country and the glory of God and the benefit of our children's children, or you're just a selfish so-and-so that's standing in the way. So, had a lot to think about while I've been sitting in iced up airports and driving little pickups 800 miles and all kind of stuff we've been doing this week. But that's the truth. And so the fruitless, the pointless, and the mundane will not help you navigate the waters. And it will not be your life raft because it is going to sink. And the hirelings that man the ship, they're going down too. God's people are going to rise up. So, all that being said, how am I doing, Murph? Anything wrong with that? Okay, you good? You still want to sing tonight after I got done? Okay, let's pray right quick, and you guys get up here. Lord, we want to thank you for your word, and we thank you that you're a God who's faithful, a God we can trust, and a God who will help us. We thank you that you're a God who answered our prayers, and you helped us, and you brought Donald J. Trump, and you're helping our country, and you're setting the stage for our children. You're the God who will set the stage for the dismantlement of these seven institutions that have become the idols of the earth. And so, Lord, we're all about it. We're listening into your voice. We're going to speak when we're told to speak. We're going to sit when we're told to sit. And we're going to do our best to encourage each other as we move forward. God, take care of your people. God, direct our steps. God, give us words of encouragement, words of direction, words of correction, and help us to be bold and be strong and courageous to your glory, Jesus. We love you. We praise you, Lord, and give you glory, Jesus. Amen and amen. Have at him, Murph.
I was going to sing We Got the Old Time Religion, but I'm not going to sing that song. I'll fly away. We're not going to do that one either. Oh, man. You know, Ephesians 2, it says, but by grace you have been saved. Could you turn that light on right there? Ah, there, let there be light. That's always better. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a free gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. And this song is all about this. For we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And then in Romans 8:1, it says there's no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Amen.
That's good stuff right there. Y'all think so? That's pretty good stuff, huh? Hey, did you notice anything about them couple songs right there? Because Murph told us a long time ago, when they're up there singing, we ought to learn something from it. Isn't that right, Murph? Yep. We ought to learn something from it. Well, out of those two songs, there's a couple things. First of all, both songs said that he knew you by name. You can gain confidence from that. First song said, I was not created to tend to the grave. I was created for more. So we have a lot of religion that's all about dying. It's all about where you end up after this is over. You know what? You probably ought to worry about where you've ended up while you're here, because you were created for more. He's a God who's the same, always, forever, and ever, always. That we should sing of his wonders and tell of his grace. See, I caught a lot of stuff right there. That's good. I want that. What do we testify to? As individuals, what do you testify to? Do you testify about my testimonies? Or yours? The grace part, pretty much everybody gets a little dab of that. We have to believe in God's grace or we're all doomed. So yes, and tell of his grace. Really? Can you tell of God's grace to the point that you absolutely know you're forgiven? Because if you know you're forgiven and you know you're restored, then you know you are still created for more. Oh, that would make a verse right there. If you know you're forgiven and you know you're restored, then you'll know that you're always created for more. Dang. Somebody write that down. We're going to get us a t-shirt or something, a ball cap, bumper sticker. So many of us can't even testify to his grace because we've been told all our Christian life that we're just old sinners saved by grace, but really not qualified for anything. The best we can do is just come plant our carcass somewhere and hear what some guy says and then try to go and be nice to other people the rest of the week. You'll never make it like that cow dog to where you're ready to run if that's all you're going to do. Can you testify to his wonders? The Bible says he's the same. Does God still work miracles? Is he still the God of wonders? Is he the God who'll still make men, mere ordinary men, stand in awe, breathless? Oh, wow, is that to be God? Is that our testimony? Or is that just the hope of our testimony? That's, we believe it, but we don't see it in our everyday life. Somebody else tells it. Somebody else is having a healing service. Somebody else is having whatever they're having. Somebody's all doing it in a pile somewhere. But what about at your house? I mean, when's the last time you laid hands on something and saw God do a miracle? When's the last time you believed for something and saw God do a miracle? When's the last time you heard the voice of God and you responded and it worked out to your favor and it was a small miracle of God? I'm telling you, getting home Tuesday was a small miracle of God. My life is a small miracle of God. His grace is a miracle in my life because despite me, he's still doing miracles in my life. It's my testimony. Dusty Leatherwood shared a word with me on the way home from the cow sale today, and I want to share it with you right quick because herein lies the problem. And so I'm going to help you. I'm going to help everybody. We'll do better. But it's about the parable of the sower and the different seeds and landing on the hard ground and the wind and the sun and all the excuses for the seed not to work. But at the end of the parable, because he tells them right up here in the beginning, it's in Mark 4. But right up here in verse 13, he says, "Do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand any parables?" Now, he doesn't say that at every parable. But this about the seed and the sower, talking about the Word of God, he said, if you don't get this, how are you going to get anything else? It's all about the Word of God. It's all about the Word of God. So then down here in verse 24, he says, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use," I'd never caught this. And Dusty, of all people, caught it. How embarrassing. I'm kidding. He knows I'm picking on him tonight. No, Dusty caught that. You know how Dusty catches stuff? He calls me all the time because he takes time to study and meditate. Every time he calls me, he's excited as a kid at Christmas. Look what I found. Look what I found. Do you know how you find stuff? You look for it. Don't be one of them people who just sits around and lets information come to you. Go find it.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.